Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Anthony Brooks. The crisis in Japan continues to unfold today as that country struggles with the aftermath of its devastating earthquake and tsunami, made all the worse by explosions and radiation fears at northern nuclear reactors.
A second hydrogen explosion occurred at a beleaguered nuclear power plant in Fukushima Prefecture in Japan on Monday.
1,000 bodies have been found in the town of Minami Sanriku, which was flattened by the tsunami. Another 1,000 were found on the Ojika Peninsula.
We now understand the fuel rods were exposed at reactor number 2, and that's dangerous.
The news has been filled with the photos, videos, and voices of the people of Japan, who live in one of the most technologically advanced nations in the world and consequently are documenting the earthquake and its aftermath in real time.
We'll talk about the as-it-happens nature of this disaster and how some of those voices are coming out of Japan in just a minute.
But first, there's another element to this story that will likely be getting more and more attention in the coming weeks, and that's the effects of the disaster on the Japanese and global economies. Here to explain is Thomas Mucha. He's editor of and global business columnist at the Boston-based Global Post. Thomas Mucha, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Meghna. It's great to be here.
It's really great to have you, although, albeit on a very, very sad news story regarding the Japanese earthquake. But you've written quite a bit about the economic impacts of that. And I want to get to that in a second. But can you just briefly provide us with an update on what you know on the human toll of this tragedy that we've seen today?
Sure, Meghna. We've got four Global Post correspondents on the ground across Japan right now, two in Tokyo, one in Osaka, one in western Japan. We've got people headed to the disaster area near Sendai. And what they're telling us is that this is the worst disaster to strike Japan since World War II. Officially, the death toll is about 2,000, but that's expected to go sharply higher in coming days. And what our correspondents are saying is it's the unknown surrounding the radiation leaks and the damaged reactors is weighing on people not only in Sendai and Tokyo, which is about 150 miles to the south, but also in the western parts of the country and throughout this nation of 126 million people. So the scope of the disaster, the human, the environmental, and as you say, the economic, is quite breathtaking.
And it's that, obviously, the nuclear question can go on and on and on, but it's this economic question that really sort of got my attention a bit today, because as you've written, even though Japan is the world's third largest economy behind the United States and China, this disaster, in a way, couldn't have come at a worse time for Japan. Why is that?
Well, there are a few reasons why this is really bad for the global economy at this time. First of all, let's not lose sight of the importance of the Japanese economy on the world. Japan is a hub of innovation. Tokyo remains a key global financial market center. Japanese firms have market-leading positions in all sorts of highly competitive global industries, from consumer electronics to automotive to computers and semiconductors. And we're already seeing some of these companies being affected by the disaster. Auto production, for example, Toyota, Honda, Nissan, have all suspended production today. Mm. That's because thousands of automobiles that were ready for export were destroyed by the quake and tsunami. Sony and Toshiba have also temporarily closed factories across the northern parts of the country. So that means the production of Blu-ray discs, semiconductor lasers, things like lithium-ion batteries and other electronic goods have all ground to a halt. So a shock like this isn't likely to be good for a $5.3 trillion economy. And that's an economy that has strong and deep roots with the U.S., and in particular, deep roots with other Asian economies.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you wrote about how Toyota has built its first new manufacturing plant in Japan in 18 years in Miyagi Prefecture, which is one of the ones that's been most heavily hit by this earthquake and the tsunami. But Thomas Mucha, help us understand how this then expands, moreover, to the global economy. Because, you know, a lot of Japanese economic news in the past many years has been about the lost decade that Japan had, and when its economy essentially went stagnant. But through public spending, they started building their way out of it. Has this completely derailed that now? And what effect is that going to have on global markets?
Yeah, that's a key point to look at, Meghna. I mean, as you say, Japan's economy was already in a fragile state before last week. And it had started to emerge due to big government spending. And what that means is that Japan's government debt picture is a mess. Japan owes money equivalent to about twice its annual GDP. Now, to put that into context, that's the second worst debt situation in the world, behind only Zimbabwe. So what that means is that the Japanese government has less maneuvering room to raise the funds necessary to rebuild the country. It also has fewer options to help calm nervous companies' investors.
Mm-hmm.
But that debt burden, though, it's not yet stopping the government from trying to do what it can.
And what impact could this have, then, on global markets?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We'll have to see what happens with Japan and whether or not it can manage this debt burden and whether or not that'll have spillover effects on global markets. More broadly speaking, the disaster will most likely lead to more volatility, more uncertainty on global markets, which have been rattled in recent weeks by all the turmoil in the Middle East, from Tunisia to Egypt to Bahrain and Libya. So this Japan disaster, from a global market perspective, really hit at a difficult time.
Yeah, as you write, confidence is everything, and people aren't feeling terribly confident when it just seems to be one disaster after another. I note that today the Nikkei index in Japan, in Tokyo, dropped by roughly 6%. Is that right?
That's right. And the broader TOPIX index fell about 7%. Stocks in Europe fell to their lowest levels in about 3 months, and Wall Street is also down about 1%.
So the interconnectivity, then, of global markets being played out this way. But still, I mean, is there a ray of sunshine in any of this? I mean, as you said, Japan has an innovative economy and innovative people above and beyond all that.
That's true, and every economist has two hands. And on the other hand, if you want to look at the bright side here, there is potentially the impact that if the Japanese government can manage this new spending without blowing its debt even further, that the increased economic activity could lead to a stimulus. And as the country rebuilds itself, that'll help the Japanese economy. And as you say, the Japanese companies are some of the most productive, some of the most efficient companies in the world. Japan will be back. The question is, how long will it take? And what effects will it have on the rest of us until it does come back?
Thomas Mucha, editor and global business columnist for the Boston-based Global Post. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Magna.